Hey, soccer fans, this is Nick for Sons of a Pitch Soccer Central, and welcome back to our weekly episode. It is the MLS offseason, but there has been no shortage of news, rumors, and headlines from around the league. In the first half of the show, we are going to look at the expansion draft, as well as highlight some of the key signings and news and transfers from around the MLS. In the second half of the episode, we're going to talk a little World Cup. Canada has dropped their roster as well as most other teams have since our last episode. I'll give a couple more takes on the U.S.'s roster, and we're going to check out the FIFA rankings for all the teams in their groups. But first, you got to sit back, relax, and stay tuned as we turn up that intro music. Hey, soccer fans, welcome once again to Sons of a Pitch Soccer Central. I am your host, Nick, and we're going to look at MLS expansion draft, transfers, rumors, news, as well as get some World Cup talk. But first, let me get a little housekeeping out of the way here. I want to thank everyone who's been tuning in and listening, whether on our podcast or on the YouTube channel. If you want to continue to support us, keep listening, keep liking the videos, keep subscribing, sharing the link, and also click an ad. Let the ads run. Puts a few pennies in our pocket every time you do that, and we really do appreciate it. Adds up. Also, if you want to send a super chat or a super thanks during the video through YouTube, we would appreciate that as well. People have thrown anything from, 99 cents to 20 bucks our way, and every little bit helps. It also kind of helps my ego a little bit. Let me know that I'm not just talking to a wall or talking to an odd webcam. Then again, some people make a lot of money talking to webcams. Anyway, that's not the kind of show we're running. But the third way, if you really do want to get involved with Sons of a Pitch, Soccer Central, we're open to sponsorships. We're able to talk social media, blogging, all these other things that we're starting to develop pre-World Cup. You can email us, podcast@sonsofapitchsoccer.com or sonsofapitchsoccer@gmail.com. And you can also find us on Twitter @SOPsoccer. DMs are open. Now, real quick other note, this is not your typical episode. I'm actually recording it Sunday night, November 13th. We're going to set it as a premiere, so it comes out on a regularly scheduled Monday. So sorry, guys, no live conversation going right now, but keep the chat going, keep the comments going. This should allow everyone to kind of keep up to speed and maybe even allow Mike and I to join in and have a little bit more conversation in the chat rather than trying to run it all off live as we're talking. Anyway, let's dive into the MLS action here. The expansion draft was Friday evening, and St. Louis City SC made some noise. They were able to pick five players that night, and then they made even a few trades later. So they picked Nico Gioacchini from Orlando City, U.S. International. Didn't get called up for the World Cup, but, if he gets into some fine striker form over the next year or two with Orlando City, I expect to see him on some CONCACAF tournaments on some of those rosters. Hey, he may prove himself well in CONCACAF Champions League. So they get Nico Gioacchini from Orlando City. Sorry, he's not going to be in Champions League because he left Orlando City. They also pick up Inter-Miami midfielder Indiana Vasilev. They get New England Revolution center back Jonathan Bell, FC Cincinnati left back John Nelson, and New York Red Bulls forward Jake LaCava, who they then flip to Inter Miami for some allocation money. And yeah, they're doing business. St. Louis City's off to a great start. So, but they weren't done with just their expansion draft picks here. They then went out and get Houston captain and center back Tim Parker in exchange for $500,000 in GAM over the next two seasons. And then Houston is going to retain a part of the budget over the next couple years, so that's probably why you see an extremely high level of GAM for Tim Parker. I think he's 29 years old. Then, as I mentioned, they send LaCava to Inter Miami for $150,000 in GAM in 2023. So lots of moves that were made. Now, a lot of people are wondering, why aren't they going for like big name players, some of the stars of the league? Well, there was an interview with sporting director Lutz Pfannenstiel on MLS Extra Time, and he explained that the club's already been around for a year. You know, they've had time to get a coach, to look at player profiles, the kind of players that they want to get in, and they already have signed a number of players, and so they don't have to just like say, hey, we're going to start with the expansion draft and get the most talented guys and fill it in around them, as a lot of other expansion teams had. As he put it, and I think one of the greatest phrases that I need to start using, you should all use it too, they're decorating the Christmas tree from the other side, right? They got to get to the same place. They got to fill out a roster that is viable in MLS over the long term and can also be competitive right away. Those are the goals of the expansion side, right? Maybe not make the playoffs, maybe not win a trophy, but have a competitive roster and one that you can build and sustain success over the next 3 or 4 or 5 seasons. So they did it with the expansion draft towards the tail end of their roster build, while other clubs have done it at the beginning of their roster build. So yeah, decorating a Christmas tree from the other side. It all gets decorated eventually, unless you're in my house and my kids keep taking down ornaments, breaking things, knocking things over. Then the tree just never gets finished and we all resign ourselves to go eat cookies and hot cocoa. But anyway, that's what St. Louis is doing. And by the way, Lutz Fonenstiel gave a great interview on Extra Time. I actually hope to hear him a lot more. He's very well spoken, despite English not being his first language, and has a good sense of humor about him. A couple other moves that St. Louis did to round out things. They signed midfielder Jared Stroud from Austin, as well as Rasmus Alm from the top club in Sweden. The name is escaping me now, but he's played in UEFA Europa Cup qualifiers and has been part of Sweden's top flight for several years now. So St. Louis City, they're going to come into the league and make some noise. Do not sleep on St. Louis City. You can still make fun of their name if you want to, St. Louis City SC. I'm not going to bother you for that. Now let's get down to all the news from around the MLS in our transfers and news segment here. It's going to kind of be lightning round format. There's a lot to cover and a little time to do it in, everyone. So I hope you are comfortable, that your bladder is empty and your glass is full, because here we go. Junior Urso, who has helped Orlando City to 3 straight playoff appearances, he's had 12 goals and 10 assists in 78 starts, a total of 87 league games for Orlando City. He is leaving the club for personal reasons. He's 33 years old. He has been very solid for Orlando City, has become a fan favorite, had a very heartfelt goodbye. Now, I ripped on Orlando City a lot last season because I thought they were frauds. I didn't think they had the offense. I didn't think they should have made the playoffs. But Junior Urso had himself a very, very respectable career in Orlando City, a very good season, and he will be missed by Orlando City fans and MLS fans, wishing him all the best. I'm sure he may go back home to Brazil and, you know, maybe get one of those retirement contracts with one of his other clubs. I think he played with Corinthians before he ended up coming to MLS. So we will see where Junior Urso ends up. But Orlando City, if you go take a look at the transfer tracker on MLSsoccer.com, they have a lot of work to do to rebuild the team and get ready for CCL as well as the regular season. Next club, moving up the East Coast, DC United signed defender Derek Williams from LA Galaxy. Now, on the one hand, I'm going to do the lawyer thing here and give you both sides and let you guys figure it out, my jury here. On the one hand, this looks like a really solid move for DC. They need defensive help. They conceded the most goals in MLS last season with 71. And you've got Williams, who's an experienced MLS player, an experienced international soccer player. He started his career in England. He's an Irish international, even having 3 caps for the Irish national team. And he's 29 years old. So he's, you know, he could be right in the middle, maybe towards the end of his prime as a defender here. But on the other hand, it's not like LA Galaxy's defense was something spectacular this season. So if he couldn't help the Galaxy shore things up in his 2 seasons there, I don't know what his ceiling is going to be for DC United. DC's got a lot to work on, but at least this is a reliable player that they're bringing into camp, and maybe someone that Wayne Rooney knows as someone who had played for Aston Villa, as someone who's played in the English Championship, someone who maybe he's come across with the Irish national team. I don't know, in all of Rooney's days playing in England and for England. Anyway, on paper, good signing. practically, we'll see what happens. Also, staying on the East Coast, NYCFC officially named interim manager Nick Cushing as manager. He is no longer running things on an interim basis. He came in mid-season to take over, was a little shaky. NYCFC lost a little of that attacking prowess. A lot of that was also due to Tati Castellanos being loaned to Girona in La Liga in Spain, losing their first defender and losing their top goal scorer. And I say first defender because in their system, he was pressing a lot. So when the ball was turned over, the forwards are the first defenders, right? That's what I mean by that. But he steadied the ship. They made a playoff run to the Eastern Conference Finals. They ended up with the top four finish. And they've got USMNT goalkeeper Sean Johnson on the squad, as well as a handful of other international players. So Nick Cushing gets the promotion from interim to full manager of NYCFC. All right, now I said lightning round. Here's lightning round. Giassi Zardes of Colorado Rapids is out of contract. Let's see where he ends up. There are a lot of teams who could use a good striker off the bench and maybe a couple teams who could use one starting. So keep an eye on Giassi Zardes. Maybe he ends up back in Columbus now that Porter's out as maybe like a fan favorite, one-year kind of a deal if he thinks his career is coming to an end. Though I think he's got a few more seasons in him, no doubt. Also, Austin FC have been making moves, staying flexible, and that is key in MLS roster build. You need your core, you need your DPs on decent contracts, you need the rest of your players on good contracts, and you need some guys to step up and outperform those contracts, and then you need to have the roster flexibility to kind of, I don't know, I don't want to say trim the fat, but that's the only phrase that I can think of, maybe get rid of some dead weight, maybe as far as the contracts go. Definitely not trying to insult any players. And Austin FC have definitely do that. They keep their core. They're keeping their core group of guys, Driussi including, at least for now. We'll see if he ends up making a move someplace overseas. But they have declined options or re-signing Danny Hosen, MLS common name there, Freddie Kleeman, Felipe Martins, again, another guy who's been around MLS, and two goalkeepers, Will Pulisic and Andrew Tarbell. So they have declined to pick up options on five players. That's freeing up a lot of roster spots, freeing up a decent chunk of cash there. And they are ready to kind of fill in role players with good contracts around their core. And so Austin is probably going to be another top four team or top six team in the Western Conference this upcoming season. Unless there's some other teams that make real big jumps and make the Western Conference even more competitive, I would expect Austin to be right back in the mix for a top four spot. Side note, that goalkeeper they waived, Will Pulisic, yes, there is a relation. That is Christian Pulisic's cousin, at least according to Wikipedia. Wikipedia has been wrong before, but that one seems like they can get that one right. I'm pretty sure someone cited it somewhere. Staying in Texas, it is official. Houston Dynamo have made Ben Olsen their coach. We all ranted against that a few weeks back. I don't think anyone in the comment section thought that this was a good move for Houston. I don't think it's a good move for Houston. But you know what? There's familiarity with Ben Olsen. The guy knows the league. He knows executives in the club. And I guess it's a safe hire. But Houston can't be safe. They need to change that culture immediately. They need to bring some winning ways in there. And gosh, you know, sometimes a coach just needs another chance. That first coaching job doesn't work out. I know for me, the first time I was a manager of a team of people in a professional setting didn't go so well. I had some victories. I had a lot of losses and I had a lot of draws, I could say. But in my next managerial role, I was able to take a lot of those lessons, and I like to think that I'm doing a much better job as a manager in a professional setting. Now, maybe that's what it is for Ben Olsen, but here's the thing. He spent 10 years in D.C. You'd think it would click in at some point, so I don't like the hiring for Houston considering the direction they need to go, but I hope he proves me wrong for Houston's sake. Also, a little news out of Houston, Fafa Picoult goes to Nashville for up to, so there's incentives built in, $250,000 in GAM. Fafa Picoult, $250,000 worth of GAM, Nashville trying to bolster their offense so Hani Mukhtar doesn't have to do everything. And there's even been some very, very subtle rumors that Hani Mukhtar is garnering overseas interest. Well, you win the league MVP, that's going to happen, right? So anyway, if any of you Nashville fans out there, Hani Mukhtar edits, I know you're in the chat. Let us know what you have heard. Let us know in the comments if you're watching it on replay. What are you hearing coming out of Nashville about Hani and about Fafa? Now let's bring it local for a minute here, everybody. Let's bring it up to the Midwest, to the suburbs of Chicago, to my backyard-ish, to Soldier Field for the Chicago Fire. They have made a few moves that people kind of scratched their heads at. Not only are they keeping George Heitz as sporting director, the guy who has orchestrated losing records and zero playoff appearances in his entire tenure here at Chicago, and this being the perfect time to fire him. So he's in place. So I guess billionaire owner Joe Mansueto likes what he's doing, sees promise, because you don't become a billionaire by letting people fail stick around you. So he must like something. The only thing I can say is he likes what he's doing with the academy. We saw Gaga Slonina. We saw Chris Brady. We saw Brian Gutierrez. We've seen Miguel Navarro. We have seen a couple other guys come through, including Andre Reynolds, the first homegrown signed by the Chicago Fire, who was actually born in the city of Chicago. Not the suburbs, not the greater Cook County, anything like that. In the actual city, Andre Reynolds, and he had his option declined. Kind of hard done because he was playing in four different positions this year coming off the bench, spent a lot of time with Fire 2 in MLS Next Pro. But you know what? Wish him well. He is going to end up, I think, somewhere around the league, even if it is on an MLS Next or a Next Pro contract. That way they got someone they can call up. I mean, the guy's been around the Chicago Fire for his entire playing career when he came into the academy and then when he worked his way into the first team. So that kind of experience, it's not for nothing. I think another team will pick him up and throw him on a backup spot at the very least. Johnny Bornstein also is not re-signing with the Chicago Fire, not having his option picked up. And Boris Sekulic also not having his option picked up or any sort of talks about re-signing, right? So Johnny Bornstein, 37-year-old, I don't know if he turned 38 yet. Guy's been around the league. Guy had some international call-ups back in his prime and was solid when needed for the Fire in most aspects, but you could see his age and the mileage was catching up with him. So as much as he was a fan favorite, as much as he still showed that 37, 38-year-olds can still do it, you're my inspiration, Johnny. I got to get back out there, man. As much as he's done all of that, just did not make soccer sense to keep him around. Would love to see him come back. He is working on his coaching license. I heard, thanks to the CHGO podcast and some writing that Pat McCreary did, has done, that he's actually working on his coaching license at Northwestern University. So would love to see him come back as a coach with the Chicago Fire organization. Hey, maybe we can finally get rid of Frank Lopez and bring Johnny Bornstein. That would be fantastic. And then finally, Boris Sekulic, who was a very, very serviceable defender in MLS. He never made big mistakes, but he never contributed big in any way offensively either. He was just solid. I think he started 33 games. The guy did not get hurt. He did not pick up injuries. He was there, game in and game out, putting in his minutes. And that's something to be said. There is probably a team in MLS who may give him another chance, I would think, or he's going to get something overseas as well, and probably a lower division in Europe, I would say. But Sekulic could not become that attacking wing back kind of threat that Chicago wanted, that Ezra Hendrickson needed. And instead, you had to rely on Gutierrez and Shaqiri and Jairo Torres, the last two of those three who are constantly injured or not caring. So he couldn't get forward and support the attack, and that kind of left it on a lot of other people. And so they decided to move on from Sekulic. Plus, he had a relatively large contract. I think it was over like $600,000. So for a 31-year-old wingback who doesn't actually run the wing, not good financial sense. So that is the news out of Chicago. They also picked up the options on center backs Kendall Burks and Wyatt Omsberg. Love Wyatt Omsberg. Hated that he got hurt this year, but if he didn't get hurt, we probably wouldn't have seen Carlos Turan mature. So I would love to see Omsberg, Chihos, Turan rotating as your three center backs and bringing in Kendall Burks as needed. All right, let's run down some quick long-term deals that have got done from around the league. All these are big names that you guys know, and as fans of their team should be very, very happy that they got these long-term deals done. Starting in Atlanta, I can't talk, whatever, with the five stripes, Brooks Lennon gets a long-term deal. He's going to help kind of stabilize the Atlanta roster there as they look to move on from Joseph Martinez. Sebastian Legit gets a long-term deal in Dallas. Samuel Piette gets a long-term deal in Montreal. The Canadian stays in Canada. I love watching Piette play. I would hate to have him on my opposition, but I would love to have him on my team. He's that kind of guy to me. He'll just come in, whether it's off the bench, whether it's starting, whether it's D-mid attacking, mid-winger, center back, whatever. Like, the dude is just going to harass the opposing team for as long as he's on the pitch. And it's fun to watch. I hope he gets to do it in the World Cup with Canada. We're going to reveal their roster in the second half. We'll see if Piette's on it, so stay tuned. Jordy Petrovic, the goalkeeper in New England, gets a long-term deal. It's been speculated that because of how great he's played for New England in just half a season, if he can do it for a full season in MLS, New England gave him the long-term deal, so that way they are negotiating from a position of strength when they want to transfer him. It's not like Petrovic will only have 6 months or a year left on a deal, and they have to move him so other teams can come in and undersell, but that now they have about 3 years of control on him, and it'll be much easier for them to move him in another year or two. And then finally, Red Bull New York re-signed Sean Nealis and John Tolkien. All these guys get long-term deals. Now, what's a long-term deal? In MLS terms, that's like 3-4 seasons, right? Maybe 2-3 guaranteed with a club option or a player option for a third or fourth season, something like that. So those are kind of long-term deals in MLS. We're not talking about like NHL deals where it's like, oh, 10-year deal where all of the money is backloaded because we need to get around salary cap rules. Nothing like that. Long-term MLS deals, I'd say, are 3 to 5 years. And that's only because there's probably one or two seasons of options in there. All right. Now, last couple bits of news before we take our halftime break. Perry Kitchen, most famously of the Columbus Crew, has submitted his retirement paperwork. We will no longer be seeing Perry Kitchen on the pitch. I encourage everyone to go check out his career. He's been a longtime MLS guy and longtime Crew favorite, so make sure you go read up on his career. And finally, Lionel Messi. Is he going to Miami? I don't know. I don't care until the pen actually hits the paper, right? Miami keeps saying, oh, we're confident. We're confident Messi's coming. And Barcelona and PSG are saying the same thing. I don't know, guys. Again, it's just Messi to MLS has been a rumor for the last 5 years. So I don't see this happening. And if it does, fine, prove me wrong. I don't care. Great. Let's just actually have it happen. And let's just not start speculating. Anyway, we're going to take a quick halftime break here. We're on the YouTube side, we're going to throw up our sponsored logo for about 30 seconds or so. Make sure you get to your 7-Eleven and buy yourself a bottle of Skira Icelandic Spring Water. And as someone who recently spent some time in Iceland, it is absolutely worth it. Definitely need some for my voice right now. For those of you on the podcast side, you'll hear a quick word from us. Make sure you guys subscribe to the YouTube channel if you're only listening on podcast, and vice versa. And we'll be back in about 30 seconds.
This MLS Weekly Recap is sponsored by Skira Icelandic Spring Water, available at your local 7-Eleven. Icelandic for clear, Skira water comes from a spring in a nature preserve in Iceland with naturally low mineral content. This isn't your average water. Clearly, yes, pun intended, it's one of the best. Get some Skira today at your local 7-Eleven.
All right, soccer fans, we are back for the second half of Sons of a Pitch Soccer Central. Again, I am your host, Nick, and I thank you for joining us as we try out a different format this week not live on Monday. I had some other obligations that came up, but I'm trying to set the video as a premiere that will allow everyone to still have that live chat element of it, and you guys can all chat along, keep the conversation going, and hey, maybe even Mike and I can jump in and engage you a little bit more through the chat feature. I want to thank again Skira Icelandic Spring Water for sponsoring the show, and to our good friend John Donovan, thank you for all the work you have done to help this channel grow, to help this show grow, and to grow the sport of soccer through conversation. John, thank you. Skira Icelandic Spring Water is available at your local 7-Eleven. And since we're talking about money and sponsorships, remember, you can still support the show directly by sending us a super chat or a super thanks via YouTube through the comments there. Or if you want to talk about sponsors and do something bigger, you can always email us at sonsofapitchsoccer@gmail.com or direct message us on Twitter at SOPsoccer. Now, with that out of the way, let's talk World Cup. The first match is coming up on November 20th, Qatar versus Ecuador. Guys, it's almost here. It's almost here. Get your subscriptions to your cable channels. Get your work excuses in line. Get your streaming services set. Get your alarm clocks ready, because those first games are going to wake you up even before the sun. But man, it's almost here, and I couldn't be more excited for it. Now, let's talk a little USMNT real quick, and then we're going to dive into Canada a little deeper. Now, USMNT, their three games are against Wales on the 21st, England on the 25th, and Iran on the 29th. Now, there has been a lot of talk since the U.S. roster was released by Greg Berhalter. And, you know, thankfully, that the U.S. Soccer Federation did a great reveal. They had Greg Berhalter fielding questions during the roster reveal, and Stu Holden was, you know, taking him to task. And it was great to see Greg have his conversation and his answers and be able to walk everyone through it. Now, people are still mad. People are still going to hate on Greg Berhalter. People are still going to say, this guy sucks. I hate this guy. He shouldn't be there. But you know what, guys? Time to put all that crap to bed. We got our roster. We got our boys. It's time to support them. It's time to cheer them on. And it's time to make some noise in the World Cup, both on the field and as a fan. So we got to put all that crap behind us. We cannot cheer for failure. I'll tell you, that's one of my biggest pet peeves. I hope Berhalter loses all three games so he can get fired and his legacy is tarnished, blah, blah, blah. Well, that's bogus. That is BS. That's baloney. That is the worst mentality that you can have. How dare you want the U.S. soccer to fail just because you don't like Greg Berhalter or some of his selections? Terrible. Terrible, and I will not listen to it. Also, let's get off the MLS quota train. I've seen the stats being thrown around that this is the most MLS players ever to make a roster, right? You can't discount someone just because they play in MLS. Those days are over, people. You guys are still living in the past. You still probably haven't watched an entire 90 minutes of MLS in the last 10 years. You're probably still waking up early, getting drunk, watching Premier League, and passed out before the MLS kickoffs ever happen. All right? Forget that. We're done with that. Besides, you're going to tell me that Walker Zimmerman and Anthony Robinson are not the two best center backs for you? I know people are going to say Chris Richards and Cameron Carter-Vickers, but you know what? Richards is still young, and CCV is having himself a great season. I am so glad that he's on the roster. And in fact, I said he should be starting in place of Anthony Robinson. But you're telling me that Anthony Robinson, before his injury, was not the best center back in the pool, and Walker Zimmerman was also like the next best pair for him? Come on. Ridiculous. Don't give me that. You want to argue about Jordan Morris and Christian Roldan being like 25th and 26th guys on the roster? Okay, fine. You want to quibble about that, but now you're going to take that and make that your entire argument? Ridiculous. Ridiculous. These are the same people who are now hating on Greg Berhalter for not putting Pepe on the squad, but then have hated him for not putting Josh Sargent on the squad. But Sargent made the squad. It's all ridiculous. Let's just focus in on the World Cup. That's where we got to go. That's what we're looking at. That's what we're all going to be positive and support each other for, and support our boys, support the Yanks, Triple G and co. Let's go. Let's get it done in Qatar, boys. Now, just as a little perspective here, because there's still a lot of people who are saying, well, if the U.S. doesn't get out, it's a failure of Greg Berhalter and his system and this and that, blah, blah, blah. I will say people are talking about the players he selected, that he may develop a more counterattacking style in this World Cup than actually trying to play out of the back. remains to be seen, but it's out there. The conversation is there. So watch if there's a tactical change against these teams as the World Cup progresses. Additionally, the U.S. should get out of this group. I agree. The U.S. should, at worst, be the second best team in this group. However, for some perspective, here are the FIFA rankings as of October 6th. That's the latest one that they put out. And they are as follows. Wales is ranked 19th. England is ranked 5th. Iran is ranked 20th. And the U.S. is ranked 16th. So they are right there with Wales and Iran as far as their FIFA ranking, right? If they could beat Wales and Iran and draw England, that would probably be the best case scenario. I think obviously 3 wins is the best case scenario, but I'm not gonna count my England chickens before they're hatched here. So again, the United States is, at least according to the FIFA rankings, and obviously there are flaws with the FIFA ranking system, but that's just a little bit of perspective for you. Now, let's go north of the border here, and let's talk about the Canadian men's national team, because they released their roster after our last podcast, and we need to give them some credit here. A little something for Jay Jardim, a little something for our founder and host here, Mike, as he is a Canadian. Yes, if you guys didn't know that, Mike's Canadian. Spent most of his life in Florida, but, you know, Canadian transplant. Anyway, let's take a look at Canada's roster here. Sorry, Mike, I hope I didn't out you as a Canuck. Anyway, goalkeepers for Canada. Now remember, Maxime Crépeau broke his leg in the final for LAFC, the MLS Cup final for LAFC, and in an odd twist of things, because he came so far out of the box to take out Corey Burke for Philadelphia to make sure Burke didn't get that goal. He breaks his leg and then gets a red card for denial of obvious goal-scoring opportunity, doghouse. So Maxime Crépeau, he did get to celebrate via FaceTime that MLS Cup win for LAFC because he was in the hospital having surgery, but he will not be making his way to Qatar. And so in his place, you have Dane St. Clair and James Pandemis, but the predicted starter, Milan Borjan. Now the defenders for Canada, Samuel Adekube, Derek Cornelius, Alistair Johnson, Richie Larea, Kamal Miller, Steven Vitoria, and Joel Waterman. In the midfield, and we'll talk a little bit about this after we run through the roster. In the midfield for the Leafs, Steven Eustachio, Liam Fraser, Atiba Hutchinson, Marc-Anthony Kaye, Ismail Kone, Jonathan Osorio, Samuel Piet, and David Weatherspoon. Up front, getting the goals for Canada, Tejan Buchanan, Lucas Cavallini, Jonathan David, Alfonso Davies, Junior Hoylett, Kyle Larin, Liam Miller, and Ike Ugbo. That is your Canada roster for World Cup 2022 in Qatar. Now, again, we talked about the goalkeeping situation. Maxime Crépeau, the number two, maybe fighting for number one spot, but Milan Borjan has been playing well when he is with the national team. But because of that, now we got Dane St. Clair and James Pandemis in the mix. Shout out to my Greek brother up there, James Pandemis. But again, in the World Cup, maybe you see the second goalkeeper come in one match if you're confident, or if the other goalkeeper gets injured. Usually you're riding your number one throughout the whole tournament. Now, for the defenders, the entire Canadian roster seems pretty straightforward. It's kind of what we expected, right? I don't think there's any major surprises. I'm happy to see Alfonso Davies listed on the roster, that he should be back fully fit from injury by the time the World Cup kicks off. There's Samuel Piet in the midfield, the aforementioned Samuel Piet. As far as the forwards go, I would expect to see Tejan, Davies, and Cavallini, and maybe Kyle Larin coming in as a sub, right, as your three up top. And Davies can play pretty much anywhere on the pitch because of his speed and his strength and his IQ. So they could start him as a wingback and bring in some extra attacking depending on the matchup. They could start him as a winger, as a forward, and then have some extra defenders, you know, dedicated defenders, depending on the matchup. So we'll see. Keep a look for that as you watch Canada roll out their lineups pre-World Cup matches. great to see Mark Anthony Kay. There's a lot of MLS guys on the roster here, a lot of Montreal and TFC players, which is great. But hopefully for Canada, you have Eustáquio having a great World Cup. You have Atiba Hutchinson having a great World Cup, and you have Ismail Kone having a great World Cup. And then that, if they're having a great tournament, then you know Cavallini, David, Davies, Laren, those guys are going to be scoring goals, finding the back of the net, and helping Canada to make some World Cup history. Now, Canada's schedule here, on November 23rd, they play Belgium. What a way to start your World Cup against the number two FIFA-ranked team in the world right now. Then on the 27th, they play Croatia, who is ranked 12th in the FIFA rankings. And on December 1st, they play Morocco, who is ranked 22nd in the world for FIFA. For a little bit of perspective, Canada is ranked 41st, which is okay. Maybe everyone can say, okay, Canada's 41st, right? Whatever. But if you look at the full rankings, there are about, I don't know, 7 to 10 countries listed ahead of Canada who did not qualify for the World Cup. So I am very anxious to see when FIFA releases their next group of rankings and if anything changes before the World Cup, or if they were going to just not release their rankings and wait until the World Cup, right? Anyway, I think Canada's been a little undersold. They need to get healthy. If they can salvage a point against Belgium, that group is wide open, if you ask me. Now, looking at the tournament, knockout rounds begin on December 3rd. The final will take place on December 18th. Make sure you are subscribing and turning on notifications to Sons of a Pitch Soccer Central so Mike can set up some of those watch-alongs and you can join the chat and you can join some of the live stats and content that are coming out during these games. So with that, everyone, I am going to bid you a good night. Remember to support the show, click an ad, let the ad play. Also, go find us on this new startup website, goals.tv, G-O-L-Z.tv. Go to their catalog, look for Sons of a Pitch, Soccer Central. You know, watch our video over there, click on our profile there. Goals TV is aggregating all sorts of different soccer content creators from around the web, podcasts and YouTube, and they're putting it all on their channel. And I want to thank Jose over there who helped Sons of a Pitch get in on the ground level. We're continuing to put content on YouTube and on Goals TV's website. And guys, we actually had the number one video on Goals TV last week. Thank you for all the support, not just on YouTube, but you know, if your work website's blocking YouTube channels, maybe you can still get Goals TV and check out us over there. So make sure you support us on Goals TV on YouTube by clicking an ad, letting it run, by sending us a super thanks or a super chat. Again, even if it's 99 cents, makes me feel a little good about myself. And lets Mike know I'm doing something right down here and that you guys are liking what we're putting out there. So again, make sure you like, subscribe, and especially share the link. Get all your non-soccer friends to subscribe. World Cup's coming up. We're gonna break it down like we always do. Have the conversation. We don't need to talk, you know, anything crazy here. We're not gonna be breaking news, but we are gonna have some of the best chats around for all of our soccer fans. And with that, I want to thank you all, and we will see you on our next episode.